The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show, outside in the Science Gallery on Pier Street in Dublin. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Brian, how are you? Well, we're not exactly outside, we're more inside, but we've a good reason to be inside, thinking of things to do at the outside.
Yeah, well, we're not in the studio in the darkened hollows of Dublin City FM. We are in a glass emporium on Pier Street here.
Yeah, no, and I have to say, it's a fine building, but it's funny when you get inside and you don't realise how much space they have in here, to be quite honest, which is split on two levels with an extra, you might say, an annex down to the very, very back with a beautiful coffee shop. You have to come along and check it out.
Do you remember what was here before this building?
I'm too young for that one, Brian.
You are not.
I am indeed.
This used to be a car park for Trinity College.
Well, they've done a fine job of evolving such a space into... what I can only describe as a better use of it.
It's free in, folks, so if you're thinking about going along, it's the Science Gallery, Pier Street, just opposite Pier Street Dart Station. Check it out. We recommend it highly, and we'll be doing a tour of their latest exhibition, which is Water, in a couple of moments' time. How was your week?
Hey, crazy. Check out the weather yesterday, speaking of water and exhibitions. You didn't need one for that. It kept me awake till about possibly 2-3 in the morning. I thought we were going to go back to the 96 millimetres. We didn't. But again, I think there's something out there and in that, Brian, that makes you honestly think of, I'd love a cup of coffee, funnily enough, now that that's going. Hey, maybe while you're going around doing the start of this tour, I might go and grab a cup of coffee and I'll meet you upstairs for the second half of it.
Maybe you'll buy me one this time.
It's usually the other way around, to be quite honest.
So it's just on today's show, we've got Connor, who is our mediator, taking us around the water exhibition. Pay close attention. Sod Show outside, and we're at the Science Gallery on Pier Street, and we're talking to Connor, and you're a mediator.
Yeah.
And what you might hear a clue as to what we're at, but what are we at? What's this show called?
So this show is called Surface Tension, The Future of Water. And what we're here doing at the Science Gallery over the next 2 and a bit months is looking at the different properties of water and what makes it important to us in society. So looking at biological, chemical, physical, and also really economical, ecological, and almost even spiritual aspects of water and how they slot into society and our understanding of the world around us as well. So where we are right now downstairs, we've got a lot of different pieces that are looking at optical and mechanical and even kind of conceptual parts of the show, where we're looking at things like how waves can move through water. How a vortex is formed, you know, when you pull the plug in your bathtub and you see a vortex, how that's formed and what that can mean in a kind of a physical sense. We also have a new musical instrument that was designed called the hydrocordion, which uses water to change the frequency of the sound in the same way that organ pedals might do as well.
Can we hear it?
Yeah, you just come over here.
Okay.
And so, well, I'm not very musical, so I'm not able to get a tune out of it, but I've seen other people manage to play things like Jingle Bells and stuff on it. It's really interesting because it's almost like a full body kind of thing. You need to squeeze the air at the bottom with your feet and squeeze the water at the top with your hands and then get the entire thing moving and generating sounds. So kids love it, like, when they're in, you know.
My first question,
yeah.
From the Big Bang to now.
Okay.
There has been no additional water molecules created. We've been recycling and using all those molecules. Is that a true statement?
Well, when we're talking about that, we're looking at the presence of hydrogen in the universe. And hydrogen, obviously, and through the reaction in the sun, is made into helium. And that's like where we're getting, where that ends up going into. And on the Earth itself, yeah, it's true that we have a finite amount of water in and of itself on the globe. And that goes through the hydrological cycle, where it's purified by trees and plants and then goes back out into the air and it rains, goes down into the ground and then up through trees and plants. And the thing about it is that 75% of Earth's surface is water itself, okay? 2.5% of that is actually fresh water. 1% of that water is usable, and 8% of that water then is used in every home, like on that kind of basis. So what we're trying to do here in the show is to get people to think about those figures and then to try and understand them as well and try and bring them in and think about it in their day-to-day life as well, their business.
And a lot sooner in history from the Big Bang, but the Ice Age, we are now have more water available to us than ever before since the Ice Age because the ice caps are melting.
Yes, that's also something to take into account. But the thing about that is, as well, is that this overabundance of water that will be coming in, like being unlocked from the melting of the ice caps, is actually going down into the seas and not necessarily getting into the hydrological cycle in the way that we might be able to access it. So, you know, you'll end up with sea levels rising and so on, but that water still being locked up because it's salt water. So we wouldn't necessarily be able to get it into our freshwater supplies unless we did an awful lot of work using things like desalination plants and so on. Yeah,
which uses a lot of energy.
Yes, again, and that then plugs into the idea is, you know, if we're using hydrogen fuel cells, our hydrogen is going to have to come from somewhere, and we're going to have to try and figure out what balance we can get with water and energy and carbon and all of these different elements that are being used really as resources as well at the same time. So we're trying to bring up a conversation, bring up a debate about that as well.
Next, can we actually go back to one?
Yeah,
the one at the very start.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us about this.
It's called Event Horizon, and it's a piece that looks at the basically how a vortex is created. And really all it is just this kind of like big inverted bell jar shape. And at the bottom of it, we've got a very strong motor. And this bell jar is filled with optic fluid. So it's basically a liquid that obviously it'll act in the same way as water. But this, because it's so much more dense, the momentum and the momentum is greater, that we're able to see a very, very clear vortex being formed. And it basically allows you to see the same, as I mentioned, the bathtub earlier on. It basically allows you to see this kind of structure coming out of the liquid itself, and it just allows you to understand how a complexity is able to emerge from a very simple system, as well.
And the direction of the vortex is related to the direction of the motor beneath.
Yeah, definitely. If you were to think about vortexes in a natural sense. Exactly. The Coriolis effect. That's basically just for the motion, for how, as Earth rotates on its axis, how water is affected by that motion.
So it is actually opposite in hemispheres.
I can never remember this now. It means at certain bands within the hemisphere, or with certain bands along the latitude for Earth, it should be, because of the way that it, but you know, I can never remember. I always remember that being like a trick question.
Pass on that one.
Yeah.
How is the exhibition going? How many people have come through, and how many weeks is it on for?
We're open from the beginning of November until basically mid-January. So we've got January the 20th is when we're closing, and we're open over Christmas, which is a first for us, really. We're not going to be open, obviously, on Christmas Day, but the Christmas period will be open and allowing people to come in and visit. We've had quite a few visitors, an average of about 600, 700 people a day, as far as I understand, up until this point. What with the, you know, different types of holidays and so on. Like,
and those weather occurrences where water has
come
down in large amounts, 80 millilitres. Millimeters of water in one day we had there recently. So we've made it upstairs, and that's why I'm out of breath carrying this enormous bag and equipment. But what's on show upstairs?
Upstairs, we've got some of the more conceptual pieces that are looking at the idea of water as a resource and water, I suppose, as something that we take for granted. There's quite a few pieces that are looking at different designs of pumps and well systems in developing countries, and different types of disinfectant systems as well, where we're looking at how we can purify water clean in a very, I'd say, energy inexpensive or energy efficient way. And we're also looking then as well at different developing technologies. On the other hand, where we're looking at things like hydrogen fuel cells and different types of ceramic water filters that can actually filter out microorganisms, for example.
We're in the science gallery, so give me the science bit. H2O.
H2O?
Yeah. What are we making up this water from?
We've got basically lots of different...
oxygen, isn't it?
Yeah, and hydrogen and oxygen, obviously, is what water itself is made from. But we have a little lab area where we're looking at the different properties of that water, and we're also looking at the fact that the presence of different types of things like calcium and magnesium can change that. And for example, very, very easily, Junior Cert Science, the soap test, where you're able to make lots of bubbles with water that's soft, which means that it has like a low amount of calcium or magnesium ions in it. And then as they get more and more calcium, more and more magnesium, the capacity for it to make a lather or to make the bubbles gets lower.
That's so it's hard water.
That's hard water and
like
soft
water. Lime would make it hard, would it?
Yeah, exactly.
So in Ballybohol, where Peter's from, he's got hard water, and in Sutton, Baldoyle, where I'm from, it's not so hard.
Yeah, well, that plugs into another thing that we're looking at, where we have different water sources for Dublin in itself. Dublin is actually beginning to reach, we're being told, it's beginning to reach its water capacity or the quotient. So we're needing to look at new sources of water for the populace itself. So we've got two main different reservoirs. We've got Saggart down south and Pulafuca for the north side. And those two have two very, very different different compositions. And what's really interesting about that is an artist that we have a piece in here is asking people to bring water samples in from their homes and then collect it all together in one fountain so that we're able to, I suppose, have a taste of the water that is representative of everyone in Dublin, what everyone in Dublin is drinking together. So,
can we visit the scientists who have got some displays over here and tell us what they're doing?
Yeah, sure. As I said, this is the water lab, so we're looking at biological, chemical, and physical properties. Generally, this is kind of an area where we're going to get kids to get their hands dirty, or I suppose hands wet more really than dirty. The thing about it is that we're looking at, obviously, the show is called Surface Tension. One of the main ones that we have is the Surface Tension Box, where we are getting them to float paper clips on the water. Okay, it doesn't sound like it's something that it would be something that would be intuitive, but you'll see that very easily you're able to do it if with a little bit of training, a little bit of delicacy.
At this stage, Peter Donegan joins us here on the Sod Show, and we're going to try and do this. And we have somebody here to help us. Your name is?
Lisa.
Lisa's here, and you're here on Surface Tension all day.
Yep.
So how does it work?
So basically, it's if you've ever seen bugs and insects crawl across a pond, it's the same idea. They kind of float on this, you sort of call it a skin on the top of the water, because the bonds between the hydrogen and the oxygen are just slightly different. And I'll give you a paperclip there.
Peter is going to try a paperclip now. This is a standard office paperclip.
Yes. See,
the best invention of last century, according to many polls at the turn of the millennium.
But you see, Brian, the difference is I've done the Science Gallery Surface Tension exhibition twice, so I know how this works. And if you remember, I was correct, because the first time I did it with Connor, and it was the putting the paperclip on the water will actually sink. So we shall demonstrate as such.
And it's radio, so it sank, folks. Okay, it's gone to the bottom, and it is rusting now.
But the big thing then was I remembered from the old boys get into trouble at home while your mom's out book, which is you take the piece of paper.
If you're really lucky, you can do it without paper, but I'll get
paper.
Oh,
can you do it without?
If you, you get a really...
Go on, give it a go.
I'm going to go with lucky, because I do it a lot.
And the paperclip is
floating
on the water.
I'm an expert at
Dublin City FM live at the Science Gallery, and the paperclip is floating on, and this is surface tension, on the top of the meniscus, and floating to the edge goes the paperclip.
Oh.
And we have Connor, who's here. He's here 6 weeks now, and he failed. It went down.
So, yes, that's what we're looking at, different types of physical properties of water. And we also have set up as well a phase contrast microscope, which is a nice piece of equipment. Speaking as a microbiologist, I'm a big fan.
Is this where we get to see at magnified levels what's in water?
Yeah, well, here we're going to actually look at a biological aspect, which is how plants interact with water, because plants have a very unique system, which is part of what I mentioned earlier, the hydrological cycle. And so what happens is we have these cells called the stomata, and you can see them here on a microscope, obviously radio. I have a microscope set up that you're able to see them on if you come down to the science gallery. And we can just see how these cells, and these cells have the job of allowing water out through the waxy skin of the plant and out into the air. And so that's how that plugs into that whole cycle where water coming up through the ground, out through the plants, and then out into the air. And that's what we're looking at as a biological aspect of things as well.
Hey, can we go in and see the funky lava lamp?
Yes, totally. Just up around here, around the corner.
So we're standing in a room which contains what I can only describe on one hand. It's about, let's say, 12 metres long by about 5 metres wide. There's a roof over my head, which is possibly another 12 feet above me. We've got a fish tank in it, which I've heard once before described as a lava lamp. And there's a film starting behind me in the background, which is the noise that you hear. At the other end, if you've ever been in the old Savoy cinema, you would have seen the speckles of dust fly through the air as the light shone through it. It almost looked, and when somebody took a puff of smoke, as they would have done in 1983 when I went there with my auntie, you would have seen that plume of smoke just illuminated into a, I suppose, the shape of a headlamp travelling down a very, very dark road. Connor, what exactly is making the light inside the fish tank, if that's a fair description?
Yeah, that's fair. Basically, what we have is a laser. It's a composite laser, so we've got a red laser, a blue laser, and a green laser, all being directed in the same place, all focused on the same position, to give us a nice wide band. And what's happening is that laser goes into the tank, and what we have at the bottom of the tank is a rack that's performing electrolysis. And what this does is it breaks the water apart into its constituent molecules, like we mentioned earlier, hydrogen and oxygen. And so as though they basically bubble up, they form these different structures as they arrange themselves in the water. And what we're actually looking at then is, as the laser pans through the tank, we're able to see the different, almost like a hologram, almost like three-dimensional structures being made by it then.
Just watch out for that dog.
Yeah, that's part of a movie that's in just next door, so...
Can we travel in and take a look at it?
Yeah, definitely.
It'll make more sense, I think.
We head to where the source of the canine sound effects are coming from. And?
This is a movie called The Swimmer by Fergal McCarthy. It's basically a reworking or like a remaking of a Burt Lancaster movie from 1968. Which was also entitled The Swimmer. And what happened in it was the Burt Lancaster basically swam across county through people's, basically through, like, I don't know, mud holes and swimming pools and different bodies of water. He managed to, like, almost use them like stepping stones or swimming stones from one part of the county to the other. In this movie, what happens is Fergal goes from south of Dublin to the north of Dublin, through canals and through the Liffey and through swimming pools in people's back gardens and through swimming pools in like places like the Markovic Centre, for example. And all these places are seen in the movie. It takes about 20 minutes. It's actually really entertaining because it takes scenes, like some of the more entertaining scenes from the original movie are remade. So
So if you're in the city centre and you're near Pier Street, drop into the Science Gallery. It's free in, and you've got yourself a free 20-minute movie, lots to see, lots to think about, lots to question all about water.
I tell you something, Brian, after seeing it, and this is my third time to do the actual exhibition twice with Connor, it does make you turn around and say, God almighty, minimum, I should get some water butts, if not, fix that leaky tap. And also make you wonder how, when you plant your tree, or if you buy your Christmas tree this season, how you're actually going to water it, and how you're going to actually dispose of it, and how much water is actually used to grow it in the first place. It really is mind-sparklingly brilliant.
Connor, just give us the opening times and how to get here.
Well, we're basically on Pier Street, just at the end of Trinity Campus, opposite the Pier Street Dart Station. We are open Tuesdays to Fridays from 12 till 8, and Saturdays and Sundays 12 till 6.
And if people want to find out more, they can visit sciencegallery.com.
Yep, sciencegallery.com.
You're also on Twitter and Facebook by the same name?
Same name, yep, Science Gallery on Twitter and Science Gallery on Facebook.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Science. Tell me in time.
And our song of the week, Thomas Dolby, She Blinded Me With Signs, from the 1983 album The Golden Age of Wireless. You got the pun, the She Blinded Me With Signs?
I got the pun, Brian.
What did you think of that water exhibition?
Hey, yeah, no, Brian, it's my third time. You got to bear in mind, this is my third time here. And every time I come here, it's just that film, the 20-minute film. The last time I was here, I brought my sandwiches in, got a cup of coffee downstairs, went up, sat on the bench and watched it. You know, it was a half an hour delay for a dart around the corner heading back to Donabate.
Coming up in the future, there will be an exhibition called Edible.
Yeah, we were involved in the brainstorming session. Bearing in mind now we're, what, second week, third week in November? They're talking about, they're planning for February already.
Mental. To get that brainstorming, and the two guys from the Sod Show, did they know who they were emailing?
Yeah, do you want to know Brian's intro? Your intro today was, hello, Peter Donegan, horticulturalist, gardener, Sod Show. Brian's, do the Sod Show with him, don't know why I'm here, no agenda.
No, didn't know I was coming here, so I have no agenda, and I see that as a positive thing. I came with the opposite to a guilty conscience. I was completely innocent of my thoughts. And thank you for inviting me.
Hey, it's a pleasure, Brian. I'm glad you could make it, as I said to you. I'm glad that it's good to be here again as well, actually. You know, Science Gallery is a cool place to come.
Coming up on the show over the next couple of weeks, what have you got for us?
I've got an interview next week with a lady who's involved in, writing an instruction manual for those who wish to teach growing your own or organics. We're also
for children, is it?
Yeah. For children, for people to be able to teach, for those who are non-gardeners to be able to teach, I suppose. We've also got another trip to the great outdoors with our good friend Aaron from Gellert and Millet's Mary Street, where we're going to overnight in the wilds of Wicklow. That's yet to come up on the show.
Have you got a date for that?
Not as yet, but we're aiming for about the first week of December, last week of November, somewhere in and around about there. I think it's a little bit weather dependent, bearing in mind that you're more the girl guide, the campers versus the, you know.
I have a house full of girl guides who are going to be offended by that statement.
No, they won't. They know my sense of humour terribly well.
Well, have you anything planned for the weekend, Peter?
Hopefully, if the ground dries up, I will be able to get the grass cut. But it's more a case of I haven't been. The ground is that wet. It still hasn't drained from the 96 millimetres. Brian, speaking of water again, what are all the plays in my life?
I'm off to the wilds of Cavan.
Well, good luck to you.
Back on Sunday. Folks, it's been great. That's show number 38. And we'll talk to you next Friday at 3 p.m.
Whatever you do, folks, in the great outdoors, do let us know and enjoy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m., Dublin City FM.